literally since the news first broke back in 2002 about the realities of abuse of priests in the Catholic Church, we've been putting a focus on it here at Issues and Ideas. Major step of confession happened this past week from the Vatican. Report that was released found that Pope John Paul II had just flat out rejected explicit warnings about sexual abuse by then Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, now a former cardinal, instead believing that McCarrick's denials were what to go with, and misleading accounts by bishops supported it, so he elevated McCarrick to the highest ranks of church hierarchy. As Washington Archbishop, McCarrick was one of the most powerful leaders of the Roman Catholic Church here in America. Certainly a darling of the media, huge fundraiser, and having deep connections with the Vatican. But he became the highest ranking American Catholic Church official to be removed for sexual abuse when the Pope kicked him out in 2019. He had a long career as a priest in New York, Archbishop of Newark, New Jersey, and as I said, Washington Cardinal. This is a 449-page report, which had the potential to engulf three separate papacies in the scandal. Since the abuse carried out by McCarrick became public in 2018, critics are accusing and have accused Pope Francis of covering up McCarrick's misdeeds, evil deeds. The investigation was actually commissioned by Francis and largely absolved the current pope, instead of put the fault chiefly with Emeritus Pope Benedict, and in particular Pope John Paul II, who was elevated to sainthood since his death, blaming them for believing McCarrick's denials of the allegations of all that was being said against him. One of the lines from the report, Pope John Paul II personally made the decision to appoint McCarrick. And that's despite receiving a letter, by the way, in 1999 from Cardinal John O'Connor, then the Archbishop of New York. Certainly a man you would think would be listened to and believed. Letters summed up allegations, some anonymous, that McCarrick had engaged in sexual conduct with another priest in 1987. And that he committed pedophilia and that he shared a bed with young adult men and seminarians. Bishops found that McCarrick had shared a bed with young men, but said that they were not sure that they had sexual misconduct. So again, what was believed were McCarrick's denials. And even though this report brought to light, not to a full degree, quite frankly, given the those who were absolved, that should have been part of the focus of the blame. But even overall, this report is not giving comfort to every survivor. James Green, who had accused McCarrick, then a priest and family friend of abusing him starting at age 11, said, "At no time has the Vatican ever had any remorse or empathy toward me." You know that while the report described decades of cover-up, it offers no plan to rectify the situation. The director of bishopaccountability.org, Anne Barrett Doyle, said that while the report was the Vatican's first forthright account of its own cover-up of a sexual predator, it let Francis hide behind plausible deniability. She asked, didn't the Pope wonder if those rumors had any substance? Well, McCarrick has never been criminally charged. Where he is today, well, the Vatican will say he's living at an undisclosed location. More than 90 witnesses have been interviewed, including cardinals, bishops, American seminarians, and priests who overlapped with McCarrick throughout his career. Of course, this brings about the question, great, that was done now. Why wasn't this done decades ago? The report, which you can download off of our download page over at our website, it's 449 pages, but there is an executive summary that you can at least spend some time with. Vatican took made an effort to defend Pope John Paul II, even in this report, saying that his past experience in Poland regarding the use of spurious allegations against bishops to hurt the church played a role in his willingness to believe McCarrick. Just looking at the timeline here, briefly in 2005, new details about allegations against McCarrick came about, and John Paul II's successor, Pope Benedict, quote, urgently sought to substitute McCarrick as the Archbishop of Washington. 2006, that happened. In 2006 and 2008, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano who is an official at the Holy See's Secretary of State, wrote letters urging his superiors to start a church legal procedure to address the allegations and rumors against McCarrick. And this was brought directly to the attention of Pope Benedict, who gave a thumbs down to that idea. Instead, the decision was made to appeal to McCarrick's conscience and for him to maintain a lower profile. In other words, keep your hands off men, and especially boys. The report defends Pope Benedict, in effect, by arguing that there were at the time no credible accusations of child abuse against McCarrick, adding that Benedict had not been kept apprised of McCarrick's activities in the U.S. and overseas after that. But when Archbishop Vigano became Vatican ambassador to the United States, that was in 2011, he got further information about allegations of sexual misconduct by McCarrick, and once again, in 2012, petitioned the Vatican. Now, just before you think, at least according to the report, that Vigano is a hero in all this, the report says the Vatican instructed Vigano to conduct an inquiry to determine whether the allegations were credible, and according again to the report, Vigano did not take those steps. Moving up to August 2018, Vigano stunned the church with a public letter claiming that the Vatican hierarchy, including Pope Francis, was complicit in covering up accusations that McCarrick had sexually abused seminarians. He also accused McCarrick of advancing corrupt networks linked to homosexual relationships within church leadership and exposed deep ideological clashes at the church's highest levels, with conservatives taking up arms against Francis and his inclusive vision of a church that's less focused on divisive issues like abortion, homosexuality. Vigano claimed that he had personally warned Francis about McCarrick's violations in 2013, but that Francis did nothing. Francis told people that he knew nothing about McCarrick's past, also saying he did not recall if Vigano ever brought the issue to his attention. The report adds that there were no records supporting Vigano's account about his raising the issue with Francis in 2013. It does support Vigano's assertions that Pope Benedict had already punished McCarrick for his abuse of seminarians and priests, however. But while it says that Pope Francis did receive notification about the prior indications by Benedict from top church officials, he was not given documentation regarding the allegations against McCarrick. So believing that they had already been checked out, the Vatican reports that Francis did not see the need to alter the approach that had been adopted in prior years. And also, too, the report did not provide an accounting of McCarrick's fundraising activities, arguing that they were not relevant with respect to the major decisions relating to McCarrick. Over the decades, McCarrick handled millions of dollars, directing them to Pope John Paul II, Benedict, and Francis for papal charities through his papal foundation. So looking really at just a few of the key points, according to the report, we've learned that John Paul II knew of the allegations of McCarrick's sexual misconduct. Looking further into the report, the Vatican blames three American bishops for providing misleading information. Pope John Paul II initially requested an investigation into the allegations, but the Vatican is now saying it was deceived by three bishops in New Jersey who provided inaccurate and incomplete information about all this. The report does describe a disturbing account from a New Jersey priest, Monsignor Dominic Patino, who said he had witnessed two of the New Jersey bishops watch McCarrick touch a man's crotch in 1990, and neither one of them said anything to the Pope about that. Pope Francis did nothing until 2017 because he believed the allegations were already reviewed by John Paul II. And by the way, he's not just a pope, he's also a saint. At his fast-track canonization mass in 2014, Pope Francis praised him as the pope of the family. Now the church has to deal with the fact that one of, if not the most beloved pope, is implicated in one of their most evil scandals. Brings about a question: can someone who turned away from sin be considered a saint? Keep in mind, this is the Vatican addressing the Acts 2 of only one of the demons among them. There are many more. You need to have full details of what they've perpetrated made public in detail as well. And also actions, not policy bloated recommendations or denials, need to be taken.